This morning, I want to let you know that over the last week, the entire worldwide denomination of MCC in all of our states and all of our countries met to build community, learn, worship together, and of course, you know, other than just voting for a new moderator and a new governing board. And the purpose of that was to help propel us into the future of our denomination. For some of us, it was not the easiest of conferences. But then again, change is never easy. Transitions are never easy. Leaders of the denomination went back and forth having conversations at each other instead of with each other, compelling one of our preachers to remind us that there are certain elephants in the room, defined as isms, that some people may not have felt that they were talked about in an open and honest manner. So meanwhile, while this was going on in Victoria, while we stayed in relatively comfortable and safe cities with comfort, the United States, as we all know, was quickly becoming a powder keg of tension. City after city lay witness to protest after protest in the wake of the deaths of Alton Sterling and Philando Castillo, and then you had Dallas, where several police officers lay dead in the streets. Gun control has got to be talked about today. But before I go off on that, it is indeed a disturbing time in the life of this world. Amen. Amen. It is indeed a disturbing time. And our author this morning is witnessing an equally disturbing time. Now, Colossians, as I was reading, Colossians, many people believe we may have had Paul or Paul as the writer. But many scholars at this point believe that Paul never did write Colossians, that it may have been a disciple of his writing the letter to the church at Colossae. And that during that time, I have to tell you, the city that the Colossians were being built, the city had suffered an immense earthquake, almost destroyed the entire city. And about 90% of that city was never rebuilt. So all of this was going on as the Romans were bearing down on the temples and all the cities and all their empire, that this was a tough time for the followers of Jesus at this moment. And then on top of that, in their church, there was a group trying to inject their secret knowledge, a group saying, I have the mystery of Christ, and you don't. You don't know what this gospel is talking about, so let me teach you. The writer says, wait a minute, wait. That's not part of what we're doing. Let me unlock the mystery of Christ for you. The writer asserts that the recipient of this letter is already in a relationship with God in which they have fully experienced the gifts of divine salvation so that they can be divinely empowered to live God-pleasing lives. So the series that we're about to embark on for the next 4 weeks is going to introduce us to do the same, how to unlock the mystery of Christ in our lives. And there's four throughout the month of our series. And the first one we're going to talk about is faithfulness. Faithfulness. And of course, I'd like to offer, as we all know, three ways. Thank you. Thank you, Katrina. Three ways. So when we offer faithfulness, the first place that I feel that we should begin is number one, faithfulness in the church. Faithfulness in the church. You know, the churches of the 20th century, the churches that we grew up in, The churches that I grew up in look very different than the churches that we live in now. The churches that we grew up in, thank God, whew, we made it through that one. Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page. The churches that we grew up in and the churches of our foundation back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, 80s and 90s look very different than they do in 2016. The church used to be the centerpiece of all community life. The church, you know, we go to church at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then we go to someone's house for dinner, right? And then what happens? You rest yourself a little bit, and then you get church at 6 o'clock. I mean, the church used to be the centerpiece. Everything operated around the church. Not today. Not today. The faithfulness that we give out in this church looks very different as well. We can't just keep the same faithfulness going on and on and on, while at the same time, church culture looks different day after day after day. We have to look and evolve and change with the church and with culture. But whether what decade we're in, I always believe that the church should always be the one place to offer and dole out generous helpings of faithfulness in the world. The church should be the one place. The church should be the foundation of where we get our strength. But you notice I said should. Should be. A lot of times we just sit back in church and we just think, oh, church is a passive activity. Church will start at 10 o'clock. I'll be done by 11:15 and time to get brunch or have a mimosa. Or a Bloody Mary, or Coke, or coffee, or whatever you feel that you need. We don't give church, and I would say Jesus, enough of an opportunity. We don't give our church community enough of an opportunity. We just want to sit back at our churches at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock to say, thank you, I've received my Jesus and I'm done. And you leave him here. Why do we do that? Why do we feel like we can just leave Jesus wherever? We can just leave him at the altar and we can leave the church and pick him back up on Sunday. The whole purpose of church is so that you can incorporate Jesus into your life every single day. We should offer fruits like compassion.
Amen.
We should offer fruits like spiritual growth. Fruits like community, belonging, hope, and joy. We should offer people comfort and give them places where they go to find encouragement, engagement, and love. But I believe churches nowadays offer nothing but lip sync. Today we find ourselves appeasing and appearing to offer these things, and we're not being those things. We're so big on doing it that we stop doing it, and we're not being it. Doing it and being it are very different things. If we are to really be serious about the kind of faithfulness we offer, we must be willing to stop doing church and actually being church. I'm going to say that again just in case the back didn't hear me. If we are to really be serious about our faithfulness, we need to stop doing church and start being church.
Amen.
We must engage our congregation from the time they walk into our doors to the time they walk out of them. We can't just be passive people expecting them to walk into our doors. If the mountain doesn't come to Muhammad, Muhammad must come to the mountain.
Amen.
There's a world full of hurting out in this world today, right? All you have to do is turn on, you fill in the blank of any newscast that you see. The church is needed. The church is needed. There is no reason why we have empty spaces in our pews today. There is no reason why this whole front row is empty. There should be 350, 400 people in this church at this very moment. Why? Where are they? Have we done our job? Have we committed to the faithfulness of Christ in calling people together? Faithfulness in the church. But it doesn't stop in our community. It doesn't stop in our large church community. We should find faithfulness in each other. Faithfulness in each other. When we are faithful with each other, our tone shifts. Our tone shifts. It moves from something that's more broad scale to something more intimate and personal. It moves from a large approach to something that's more focused on right relationships with each other. We have gotten so good in our community about tearing each other down. The L and the G. Not coming together because of a gender issue. And then when it comes to the B, well, they just don't exist, I've heard. You're on your way to one place or another. And then we can't forget the T. We can't forget the T. Over the last week, I went to this presentation where Jennifer Finney Boylan, is that how I say the name? Jennifer Finney Boylan, who has been this accomplished author for the New York Times, was talking, and she is a trans woman, and she's very much a fierce advocate for trans issues. And in that plenary and in that session, someone was saying, I will come to communion. And in that communion, someone will ask him, do you have this body part? His response was, the only body that matters at communion is the body of Christ. Amen. We need to stop tearing each other down. We cannot form right relationship with each other if we do not talk and form community with each other. Amen. My grandfather, now we're getting to my grandfather, Lord, now y'all earn for it. My grandfather told me one day, after I was having my problems with Miss Geneva, and I'm not going to go with the preacher's wife about how I had problems with her. But he sat there and he looked at me square in the face. He said, Brad, let me tell you something right now. If people are arguing with each other in the church community, the Spirit of God will not dwell. Amen. We must be willing to look at each other, talk to each other, have community with each other, forgive one another. If we can't, what's even the point of having a church? Alan Bream, a Presbyterian minister, comments on this passage by saying that, and I quote, contrary to our culture that is obsessed with all things spectacular, when we are engaged in the most mundane activities, we make the most difference in another person's life. When you get right down to it, that's the only place we can really make much of a difference in the life of another being. Forgiveness and service to one another is the only way that we can continue being the church that God has called us to be. I believe that when we do things for each other and we forgive each other and we are in right relationship with one another, things happen. Things happen. We prove our faithfulness. We show our faithfulness to each other. As we walk with Christ, who showed us the way, we must be willing to look at each other in support and love, compassion and gentleness, which can make a profound impact in this world. We must be willing to do that. Or what's even the point? And finally, none of that matters. None of that matters unless you have faithfulness within yourself. Faithfulness within yourself. There's a lot of degradation in the world. And some of that degradation is caused because we don't feel like we are good enough. Some of that thinks that we just can't do what we need to do. But let me tell you something. You are created by God to be a beautiful, fabulous, sexy creation. You can clap to that. It's okay. You are created by God to be a fabulous creature of this world, and let no one tell you differently. Let no one tell you differently. When Reverend Troy Perry started MCC, he wasn't just creating a church where people on the margins can come and belong. He created a church to say that he believed that God has no stepsons or stepdaughters or step trans people. There are only children of God, and we are children of God. You are a child of God. Amen. I was reminded of this just a few weeks ago. You know, Reverend Candace tends to give me wisdom from time and time again. She's trying to teach me something, I don't know. She tries very hard. But just a few weeks ago, I was talking to Reverend Candace, and I was putting the sermon together for General Conference, and there was a block. You know how you writers, when there's just a block that you have, that you can't really put it together, that there's something that's hindering you from really creating this thing that you need to create. I was having that block. And I was talking to Reverend Candace, and I said, I don't know. I said, I'm preaching to all these people. I'm at the young adult service. I'm going to be 35 next week. And she's like, yeah, right, whatever. And she said, and I said, you know, there's going to be all these people. Reverend Elder Dr. Nancy will be there. All these Reverend Elders who have been at this church since 1968. Bob, who has served since Noah. You know, all these people. These teachers, these professors, these scholars, these authors, these writers will be there. I said, I don't know if I'm up to this. And she said, you know, with her finger, she said, Brad, all they need is a word. All they need is a word. I said, but what word is that? She said, and then she stopped and she said, listen. And you know, when she does that, I'm like, okay, I'm listening now. She says, all they want is to hear a word of God. That's all they want.
We got it.
What she was saying is have faith in yourself. Be authentic. King of Peace, you be authentic. Amen. Speak your truth at all times. You do you. Right? Yeah. You do you. And you do it well. Because God has called you to be nothing less than excellent. I believe, y'all, that when we fully step into the faithfulness that God has placed into ourselves, we are on the verge of doing something great in this world. But you must be willing to take that head on. This morning, you received a key. Did you not?
Yes, we did.
You received a key. I want you to take it out. I want you to take out a key, your key, or any key for that matter if you don't have one. And I want you to put it in your hand. Touch it. Feel the texture. Look at it. Look at this key that you have. I want this key over the next 4 weeks to be a symbol of your faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to you. And if at any given point in time you just say, I can't, I shouldn't, I don't, just touch that key. Let that key be a reminder that God made you fabulous. And so let me encourage you as I close. Always have faithfulness within yourself, within each other, and within this church. And when you do, let us begin to unlock the mystery of Christ together. The question that I have, are you willing? Are you willing? Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Fabulous God, we just want to give you thanks. We give you thanks for this time we have together. And as we journey together to unlock this mystery of Christ, may we know that you created us to be the fabulous people that you have called us to be. You have called us to be authentic beings, to do great things in this world. You have called us to be with one another in times of hope and hurt, joy and sorrow, comfort and consternation, and may we see you in the middle of all that. And God, as you call this church, may you continue to be the foundational source of all that is in this place. May we do things together because you have called us to do these things, knowing that we are on the verge of greatness with you as our continual guide. Be with us and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.